title of the message that the Lord has given me today is Never Forget.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
All right, would you pray together with me as we shift gears and begin to move into God's Word here? Father, we thank you this morning for the many things that you have allowed us to be a part of, and we want to thank you, Lord, for your provision for that. And now, Lord, I'm going to ask that as we get into your Word, that the Word would become alive to us, and as we hear it, that it would change us. Because really, that's what your desire is for your Word. And we give you the thanks for it. And I pray that you would use me, Lord, to bring forth your heart. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen and amen. This morning, several have asked me, has the Lord given me a word for the coming year and 2024? And as of today, the Lord has not given me a word for this coming year. But he has given me a word for today. And some of you are glad, right? Would you go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8? Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we're going to start in verse 11. But in essence, I do believe that this message will be part of what God has for us for the coming year and for the year that we remember. Verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord your God in not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when the herds of thy flocks multiply and your silver and your gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and there was no water, who brought forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers knew not, that he might humble you, that he might prove you, to do you good at the latter end, and that thou say in your heart, my power and my might has gotten me this wealth. The title of the message that the Lord has given me today is Never Forget. It's a very sombering passage there. But today we're going to talk about three different areas that the Lord has put upon my heart that we are never to forget. Number one, we are never to forget your God. Number two, never forget your blessings. And number three, never forget your hope. So we're going to be talking about these couple things here this morning. So I want to begin this right off. Never forget your God. Now, we sit in this place today and we might think, well, I could never do that. Let me ask you a question. How many of you said words like this, I will never do that? And then you found yourself what?
Doing that.
Whatever that might be. Many, many years ago when I was living in Mississippi, someone approached me and said, I would like for you to help me in clown ministry. And I said, I will never do that. Guess what? I ended up going to clown school. And some of you say, clown school? Yeah, there actually was. The Ringling Brothers had a clown school, a clown college. And I graduated. though I said I would never do that. And here's another good one. I said to God, right after being called into the ministry, I will never be a pastor. You know what? Because I didn't want to be a pastor. I wanted to be an evangelist. I wanted to do those exciting things and travel here and there. Guess what? Now, on the flip side of that, there are many things that we say we will never do. I will never forget the Lord. Do you know how many folks have said that and are now not serving God? You know how many people that have come into even our church and said, I will never fall away from God. But yet they have. So this is something that God is speaking to us, and I believe that it's very important for us to hear this. Because we may be sitting in here, and you know the scriptures say that in the end days, even the very elect, some shall fall away. How is that possible? Because we forget God, and we forget about what He has done for us. So we should never, ever forget God. I want us to go to an Old Testament book that most of the time is not preached out of, but the book of Hosea. Would you jump over to the book of Hosea? That's one of them little books that we never hardly go to, and so it's sometimes hard to find. Everybody there with me? Right after the book of Daniel? Hosea chapter 4. The prophet Hosea said, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Does it sort of sound like where we're living at today? Now, many, many years ago, we would have never thought that, because last week, as I shared, that penny that I gave you, it says on there what? In God we trust. But where has America come right now? Are we literally trusting in God? And again, God said He had a controversy with Israel because there was no truth, no mercy, knowledge, or of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. We seem to be getting a little deeper, right, into where we're at today. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwells therein shall languish. With the beast of the field, with the fowls of heaven, with the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shall thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject you, and thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget thy children. Now those are some serious words that God is speaking through the prophet Hosea. Why? Because they forgot God. They forgot about who He was. Now notice in verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And sometimes people today read that and say, wait a minute, we have plenty of knowledge. I mean, when you really look about this, we have knowledge that is increasing. How about these things right here? Do you realize what you're carrying around in your pocket and on your hip? The technology that has increased. Now, Sister Joyce, did you ever think we would have something like this back when you were growing up? At our fingertips, and all we need to say is, hey, Google. Good, you better not say anything. Okay? I thought I turned that off. Good. Okay? And we can look up anything that we want right there at our fingertips. Knowledge has increased. Unfortunately, the knowledge that is happening right now is heading into ungodly directions, where things that are, if I mention something like AI, how many of you know what that is? Artificial intelligence that is going in ungodly directions. But God is not talking about that. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge of Him. That's why we're being destroyed. And if you look at this, in Hosea's prophecy, he also mentions things like this. The fowls of heaven disappearing, the fishes of the sea being taken away. Now, without our knowledge, many of us do not know that there are many animals that are becoming extinct right now. There are things that are disappearing that once were even 100 years ago. My people and my land are disappearing because of lack of knowledge of Him. They have forgotten Him. This worldly knowledge that I just spoke about, if you turn back a page there in Daniel chapter 12, the end of Daniel's prophecy as he was speaking, this speaks about this in verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Do you know we're living in the last day right now? Now, I know that that's been said for a long time. But as we see things increasing, technology-wise, knowledge is increasing. But yet, while that knowledge increases, what's happening with God? What's happening with God? What about the knowledge of God? Do you know right now that if you ask a kindergarten class anything about the Bible, how many of those kids would actually know anything? Very few. And some people say, well, that's because, you know, we took God out of the classroom and we're not teaching anything about God. Is it only that? It's about parents forgetting God. It's about parents not putting God at the center of their homes and letting their children see that. We have forgotten our God and we've forgotten to teach our children about Him. There are consequences of forgetting God. There really are. Go back with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Some of you may recognize this, but this is Deuteronomy chapter 28. Where God said, if you will follow me, I will give you all of these blessings. But we're going to pick it up after that, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. But it will come to pass, if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe, to do all of His commandments and His statutes which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Curses, curses, curses. Cursed shall thou be in the city, cursed shall thou be in the field. Cursed shall thy basket be in thy store. Cursed will be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your land, the increase of your kind and the flocks of your sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when you come in, cursed shall thou be when you go out. And if you read this to the people and ask the people, would you like the blessings of God? What would you say? Say, absolutely, we want the blessings of God. But the whole thing is, you can't have the blessings of God and forget God and do things your way. Let's not forget our God because the curses are allowed to come upon us. Jump over to verse 45 in that same chapter right now. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and listen to this, shall pursue you and overtake you till you be destroyed because you did not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. The problem is, many people think, I am above that. That will never touch me. That will never touch me. But let me tell you something. God's word is true. And it will happen. It will happen. Number two. Never forget your blessings. Now in America, we are blessed. And I believe that the only reason that we are blessed is because of the remnant of God, the people of God, that are calling out upon the Lord God for mercy, for change, and that we would be the people God has called us to be a testimony in this land. We are blessed. But yet sometimes when you ask people in America, are you blessed? No, I don't have anything. How many people in this church sitting here right now would say you're blessed? You better raise your hand. You got Landon, right? Amen? That was good, wasn't it? Yeah. We are blessed. There's an old song that goes back many years, and it's rolling in my head. We are blessed. We are blessed. When I wake up in the morning or to lay my head to rest, we are blessed. We are blessed. Why are we blessed? We know the Lord. We love Israel. And if we tune our hearts and humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, draw near unto Him, He draws near unto us. And the blessings of God there that are spoken about in the earlier part of Deuteronomy chapter 28 will pursue you and overtake you. That's the promises of God. And we are blessed today in this country. We have so many things. And in our homes, and especially when we are givers. When you are a giver, God in turn gives back. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall God cause men to give unto your bosom. Never forget your blessings. James chapter 1 is where I want to go with that. And I love what James has to say here. James chapter 1, verse 16. Don't err, my beloved brethren. Every good and every perfect gift comes from where? Comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, no shadow of turning. God gives that. As a matter of fact, we also know who gives us the power to get wealth. God Himself does. And so these blessings that God has blessed us with, I mean, just look around at what God has done for us. Next week I'm going to show you some pictures of kids, I hope, from Africa that we support. When they go to church, their church is outside. They're sitting on logs. And it's 100-some degrees. And they're worshiping God. What do we get to sit on? I wonder how many would come to church if we replaced these chairs with logs. I just wonder. That's a good question. How many of you'd come to church? Raise your hand. Okay. I love it. You sit on the front row. Yeah. All right, listen. Remember God in everything. Pastor Aaron used this scripture not too long ago, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. There's three little verses right there. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know what kind of a bad attitude we have with Christianity today? We have a lot of complainers in the church. We complain about what we don't have instead of be thankful for what we do have. And bless God for what we do have. And you know what? I want to thank God every day and remember where God has brought me with physical blessings. When I first moved to West Virginia, I had a little car. It was called a Plymouth Champ. Anybody remember those cars? Okay. I don't know, Brandon. It might have been before you were born, yeah, that year. But this car literally smoked like you wouldn't believe. And I brought that car here to West Virginia. It was so bad that every time I came to a stop and there was people in back of me, I shut it off because I didn't want to fumigate them. Okay? And I think about what God has done for me now. And every once in a while I think about it whenever I pull up to a stoplight and I look behind me and I don't see any smoke coming out. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. In everything, give thanks. Give thanks for your salvation. Give thanks for your blessings. Give thanks for your mercy that God has given to you. Anybody ever receive mercy from God? You know, mercy, let's not get this confused. Grace is just God giving you because He loves you. Mercy is God not giving you what you deserve. Anybody in here never mess up? David? Yeah, we all do. And God says, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. Psalm 71. Jump over with me to the book of Psalms right now. It will be there for a little bit. Psalm 71. Verse 14. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I know not the members thereof. And I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, even of thine only. Come on now, folks. Are we using our mouth to do that? Are we thankful? Think about this. Our salvation comes from God. I want you to think about that. How many of you are thankful for your salvation? Because that salvation is not from you. You didn't do anything to deserve it. That came from God. And it's only Him that can do that for us. Remember that. Psalm 89, verse 1. You've heard this before. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, and with my mouth I will make it known. I really want to encourage us to make known what God has done for us. Speak of it on a regular basis. You want to know how to get out of that depressive, stinking thinking? Start talking about the things God's done for you and rehearsing them. What has God done for me? Again, like I said about my little Plymouth Champ, I thank God when I look in the mirror and say, it's not there. And that little car, by the way, Rick remembers this, it smoked. And the tires were as bald as could be on it. I arrived here in November. What comes in January and February? Snow. I think Rick probably said, you better get those tires changed. I said, with what? Can't afford it. And I lived on a hill. And it snowed. Some of you may remember 1993. Like 5 foot of snow. I was coming home from work that night. I thought I'd get me behind a snowplow. Guess what? That didn't even work. My car ended up on the side of the road. And when I came back the next day looking for it, I couldn't find it. They had buried it with the snow plows. I was like, thank you, Lord, it's gone. Yeah. Where am I at? Let's get back to where I'm supposed to be at here, okay? Don't forget where God has blessed you. Don't forget where God has taken you. And I just want to throw this in here. As far as where we're at spiritually, and if you've matured in the things of God, don't forget where God has brought you from. And here's the biggest problem in the church. I see so much judgmentalism. Someone comes in and, you know what, they're new believers or they haven't been saved that long, and the church just starts whamming them, you know, oh, you need to stop this, you need to start doing this, you need to, da, da, da. And a lot of times it drives those folks away because the church is more judgmental. You know, a lot of people say, I'd rather go to the bar than to the church. Now that's sad, and it should never be. Remember where God has brought you from, and always speak of it. There is a stark warning for the church. And this is found over in Revelation chapter 3. And many of us have read this before, but Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, I know your works to this church, that you're neither hot, you're neither cold. I would that you were cold or hot. Be one or the other, but because you're a lukewarm and not cold or hot, I will spew you. That's a nice word for vomit. I will vomit you out of my mouth because you say I am rich. I am increased with goods. I have need of nothing. Don't you know that you are wretched, miserable, and poor, blind, and naked? I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire that you might be rich. White raiment, you might be clothed. The shame of your nakedness not appear. You anoint your eyes with eye salve. You may see. As many as I love, I rebuke. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. We cannot forget what God has done for us. Have we forgotten that God has given us all things, that we think we don't need Him? And this has really become a big problem. We have forgotten where God has brought us to. And when we have increased with goods, and when we have increased with everything that we want, we think we got here. We brought ourselves here. We didn't bring ourselves here. God did it. God did it. Number three, never forget your hope. You know, there's a lot of folks today that still say, this world is terrible. I have no hope. Let me ask you, as the people of God, do you have hope? 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If you are a saint of God, a believer in Jesus Christ, you have hope. You have a living hope. This world should not be ho-hum for the Christian. Well, I just can't wait till Jesus comes back, because things will be better then for me. Life is terrible right now. How many mini complainers do we have in the church? Oh, this is bad. This is bad. This is bad. How many of you like to be around people that are constantly telling you things are bad for them? You see them, you haven't seen them for a while, you say, how are you? Oh. Well, how much time do you have? Come on now. Nobody wants to be around that. And you know what? People ask me all the time, how are you? What's my response? I'm blessed. Well, do you have any pain? Absolutely. But does that mean I'm not blessed? And nor do you need to know that. All I need to tell you is I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, I am blessed. When I lay my head on that pillow, I am blessed. Because God has done so much for me. And I'm going to remember what He has done for me. I'm going to remember the hope that He has for me. Hallelujah. I am blessed. We are kept by the power of God. And I want us to know, in this world, you're going to have trials. Come on. You're going to have some mental struggles. You're going to have emotional struggles. You're going to have some physical struggles. But Paul said, be of good cheer, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It doesn't matter. How many of you remember that song? It's rolling around in my brain. This is not an old song. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. Without you, Lord. How's it go? Somebody tell me. It's a new song that's out there. What's that?
I'm so blessed.
I got this heartbeat in my chest. It really doesn't matter, right? Everything else that's going on. I'm so blessed. And if we begin to take that attitude on us, people around us are going to be changed. We're going to be changed inside, because everywhere we go, we think about the hope that God has for us. So, when you look at what God has for us, it's so much. Verse 13 now. Jump down to 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves to your former lust and ignorance. But as He which has called you is holy, so you be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. We have hope, folks. What's our hope? We don't. Some people say, well, my hope is that, you know, I know I'm saved when Jesus comes back, or when I die, I'm going to be with Him. But it's not just there. We have a living hope right here. We have a reason to live. We have a hopefulness that no one should be able to take away from you. So I'm going to close this up today by saying, are there some practical things that we can do to never forget? Go back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11. I do want to share this. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18 to 21. Now when I read this, this is what God told the people of Israel. Therefore, shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they be as frontlets between your eyes? Now, What God actually told them to do was to wear His laws on their arms. And they had this little thing that was called a phylactery. It was a little leather box, and they had the laws of God in there, and they strapped it to their head. What do you think? Should we go back to doing that? Or does God have a better plan for us to remember? I think He does. Listen. And you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of your house and upon your gates, that your days might be multiplied and the days of your children in the land that the Lord sware to give you. Verse 22, if you will diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and cleave to them, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you and bless you. Listen, folks. God is asking them, us, to put these things in our hearts. But there are some other practical things that you can do. Put them before your eyes so that you can see them. With God, all things are possible. A scripture found out of Matthew. And how many of us today remind ourselves what God has done for us by things that are around our homes? I think it's really important that we decorate our homes with the Word of God. And that we constantly put that in front of our eyes. Ladies, this is usually what you do. Some men do it. If you left the decorating up to me, it wouldn't look very good. But put the scriptures before your eyes in your homes. Put it on your car. Now, remember this, though. If you're going to put the Word of God on your car, you need to live it. Don't be going and putting one of our living water magnets on your church, on your vehicle. And then you have road rage. I don't want to go to that church. And we put all these, if you put scripture, you're going to live it. Okay? Live it. And I think it's good to put that before our eyes. And you know why? Because it's teaching our children that as well. And our grandchildren, they will remember those things as they grow up in the things of God. Remind ourselves to do these things. If you want to put it on your clothing, wear it on your clothing. Remind yourself of the things of God. Put it in front of you. Most importantly, remember God's Word to you in all things. And I want to close with Psalms. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not what?
Your benefits.
His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all of your diseases. Come on now, somebody say amen.
Amen.
He redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Never forget. Never forget what God has done for you. Never forget. Remind yourselves continually. Put the Word of God out in front of you, what God has done for you. Rehearse it. Rehearse it over and over. You remember when God did this? You remember many years ago in Kids Blast? Do you guys remember some things from Kids Blast? Probably little characters in there too, huh? But they remember. Put the Word of God and remember the good things that God has done for you. Always rehearse them giving God praise and thanks. Amen? Now we're about ready to enter into communion right now. But before we do, I want us to take a moment and just quiet our hearts before the Lord. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can remember your word. Thank you, Lord, for the many things that you have blessed us with, for where you have brought us to in this past year and where you're going to bring us in the coming year. I thank you for that, Lord. We will humble ourselves before you right now and ask you to minister, help us to remember this word in Jesus' name.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.